There was that initial moment of just getting a bird's eye view on life and just going, okay, now I know what's important. You know, the small things that kind of bug me fell by the wayside, and the things that should be important, you put more time into.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's podcast is being brought to you by YouCan. Parents, I know that there are days where you feel like you're dragging through the day. It doesn't matter if you're a new parent or a veteran parent. You're looking for ways to have enough energy throughout each day. If you're done having your fifth cup of coffee or the latest energy drink fad, then YouCan is something you should look into. For me, I shifted the way I eat a few years ago. At that time, I went through energy crashes because I was taking out caffeine from soda and bad sugars. Instead of staying awake until midnight, I was getting tired at 10 at night. As my body was changing, I started looking for ways to get more energy that was healthy and sustainable. Recently, I heard about YouCan and I went to their site and learned about their products that provide healthy and sustainable energy. As a parent and owner of a business, I was elated to see a way to cross everything off my to-do list each day without adding bad sugary drinks or foods that I used to consume. I now have the energy to be there for my family and run my business thanks to YouCan. To keep up with the parenting theme, I love the fact that YouCan was started by parents looking out for their son, Jonah, who was born with a rare metabolic disorder. It prevented him from breaking down the body's natural source of stored energy, glycogen. The condition required him to be tube-fed every 2 hours to maintain normal blood sugar levels. Jonah's parents teamed up with a group of innovative thinkers on a search for a revolutionary energy source to manage Jonah's blood sugar. That is where YouCan started. So YouCan is made from science and heart. For more on YouCan, make sure you check out all their fantastic products. Go to YouCan.co. That's UCAN.co. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have Garrett Dunlop. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in there. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to chatting with you about your music. Congrats on your album, Animal. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the fact that you had your kids in your music, one of your music videos, and I love that. But I love bringing good guys like yourself to talk about their fatherhood journey. So take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad, sir. What was going through your mind?
Well, let me see. So I think when my wife and I, we weren't married when we had our firstborn, but we decided that we were gonna go for it. And in my head, I think looking back, I thought it was gonna take time. You know, I was gonna have a lot of time, you know, before Amy got pregnant. But it was like bang. Okay, all right, this is happening. We got 9 months to prepare. Okay, it's time to prepare. We gotta prepare. So I think I went into almost like caveman mode. So I was just like picking up every job, every gig, every studio production thing that I possibly could. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. It was those 9 months were got a little turbulent at times. And as much as I thought I was kind of emotionally prepared and ready. I wasn't ready for the depth of emotion. I can be, you know, pretty closed off at the best of times. And I kind of shocked myself, you know, when Joni was born. It was just like, I mean, I don't have the words for it. It was just this outer body experience. Just the world just stopped for this moment of time. And I think at that second, it just felt like nothing was ever going to be the same again, in the best possible sense, you know. And, yeah. You know, I've been just working it out ever since.
No, I appreciate you sharing that, you know, especially like, I love the caveman mode. Like you said, you went into, I think when you're planning for kids or if things just happen right away, you're like, I think one of the biggest things, especially for dads, like, are we financially ready? And you're never going to be financially ready, right?
You just, never, never, uh-uh, never.
So I think a lot of dads listen to this and parents, you know, moms too, listen to this would be like, you know, sharing certain things you have. Yeah, because like the 9 months, man, it's a roller coaster. It's not to use that cliche, but it's like ups and downs, and you're like, how am I going to navigate this? Am I ready? Am I doing what stuff that she wants to? Am I annoying her? Is she annoying me? So right. There's all those things you're juggling, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions in play for sure.
No doubt. Talk about some of the values you're looking to instill into them as they're growing up.
Wow. I'm sure if I thought about this long enough, I'd come off with something very profound. But I think like confidence and being empathetic with themselves and people around them, and you know, living fearlessly, like going after their dreams and really, really, really trying to make, you know, the most of their time on earth. You know, I think, and then some other things like a big one for me is like dealing with conflict. Those are tools that I didn't kind of grow up with. You know, I'm the worst person in conflict and in arguments. You know, we were kind of taught when we were growing up, if we were having a fight or having an argument or something, our parents were like, okay, shake hands and just get over it. Just be friends again right now. That's it. That's the end of it, you know. The line was drawn under it. So you're kind of, you know, you're gritting your teeth, you know, pretending to be okay with the situation. So, you know, I went through life for the longest time just not knowing what to do with those emotions inside. So for me, that's a big one, being able to deal with conflict and life and with other people around them.
All great values there, sir. I believe I'm probably a little bit older than you, but like you had that, like the generation coming up where it was like, oh, just shake hands. And I feel it in my bones and you shake, you know, your siblings, you're like, yeah, I'm fine with it. Fine. Yeah, I'll get you back.
Yeah, totally. Like that was my upbringing in a nutshell. You know, it was like, you aren't allowed to fight. You're not allowed to disagree. You know, it's just, you know, love one another and, you know, shake hands and through gritted teeth, you know.
No doubt, man. That's so true. Talk about something that, you know, your kids have taught you about either yourself or about life that you might have not even thought about or experienced until you have kids. Because, you know, again, another cliche is a baby changes everything, and it's so true. But what is something that you became a dad and you're like, you know, and maybe not right away, but something with your kids now, it's like, man, like they really taught me this about myself, or something that they taught you about, you know, just life in general.
Well, that's a good question. You know, a lot of things, I'm sure, if I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, I had that when my kids are born, you know, there was that initial moment of just getting a bird's eye view on life and just going, okay, now I know what's important. You know, the small things that kind of bug me fell by the wayside, and the things that should be important, you put more time into. So, you know, that's a really interesting perspective, you know, for me personally. And then I think the other thing is like, is learning to like play again. That sounds weird, but
no. Like, 100%, I totally understand what you're talking about. Yes.
I think there's like, there's somewhere along the way, you know, growing up where it's like, it's not cool to play anymore, whether that's like a self-conscious thing or, you know, you just stop playing. Things get serious and, you know, you got to make money, you got to pay the rent, you got to pay the mortgage, you got to keep the lights on. And, you know, life just gets in the way. And they've taught me how to play again. I mean, when I'm playing with the kids, I feel like a kid. You know, I feel like a big kid, you know, jumping around, rolling around. So they've definitely taught me how to play and be silly and be fun again. That was something that was missing from my life from the ages of probably 8 to, you know, 26.
Yeah. Such a great answer, man. I freaking love that. And one more question before we get into your music and of course, your album Animal. Is there a dad hack or a piece of advice you'd like to offer to new dads or new parents listening to this?
Okay. Hide vegetables in everything you cook. You know, I always think about, you know, that scene in Goodfellas where Paulie's like slicing the garlic with the razor blade, you know, like sort of liquefies in the pan. That's me every time I'm preparing food. It's like, whether it's a sauce or something, there's just like the fridge is emptied of every vegetable and it is cut to the finest point, so it just disappears in the sauce. So yep, you gotta get those vegetables in there.
Love it, man. Such a great dad hack. And yeah, smoothies are a good way to go if you make your own smoothies. And you see them putting the fruit in there. If they don't want the vegetables, frozen spinach is great to put in there because there's not that much. I mean, if you put a bunch of frozen spinach, yeah. But if you put a decent amount enough, you won't taste it as much. But they'll be like, oh, it still tastes good. And they're getting their spinach. So great dad hack, Gareth. I love that.
Nice.
Great job right there. Congrats, like I said, congrats on your album, Animal. Talk a little bit about how this album came to be, sir.
So, you know, this album was probably, you know, a three-year journey. Like a lot of other musicians and songwriters in the world, when the pandemic hit, everything just stopped. And I had what I felt was the record sitting kind of done. And, you know, the prospect of not being able to tour it and not being able to kind of release it and, you know, in the way that I wanted, it just put me off the whole idea of putting it out. So I just, you know, I shelved it and got on with some other stuff. And I actually had the luxury of being at home for, you know, an unusually prolonged period of time with the kids. So I just, you know, I tried, you know, I embraced that as much as I could and just kind of forgot about the record. So when things, you know, looked like, you know, they were brightening up and, you know, things were coming back to life on the music front, I revisited the record. And at that stage, I had a few new songs that had, you know, that had kind of fallen out along the way. And so they got added, and some of the songs that, you know, in the cold light of day, I wasn't that happy with got removed. And, you know, the time was right. And the record is on its way out. It's coming out on the 22nd of April. Yeah, I'm super pumped. I'm really excited. It's been a long time in the making. And it's a record that, you know, I predominantly made here in my home studio. So there's a lot of, I'm sure if you listen closely enough, you'll probably hear the kids screaming at some point here and there, but I've tried to kind of clean it up as best I can. But yeah, it was a lot of the songs on there were made in the chaos of home living.
Love it, man. Congrats on that. And of course, put up links where people can purchase that. Is there, and it's like almost asking, like, do you have a favorite child? But like for this album, is there a song that maybe means a little bit more than the others, or maybe not more, but just stands out to you before, because maybe what it meant, it could have been the catalyst of the, you know, the album, or maybe you kind of, like you said, you were working on this while you were home and all that, but is there a song that kind of like gets you a little bit more than the others just because of what it means to you?
Yeah. So there, I mean, there would be two on there. So the song that started the whole kind of record was the title track of the album, a song called Animal. And it was a strange one. You know, I go through different periods of writing in different ways. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a song that's really labored over and it takes time to, you know, to come together. And other times something just seems to fall out onto the page. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And Animal was one of those songs. And when I'd finished writing it, I can remember looking at the page and kind of thinking, what is this? I haven't written anything like this before. And it surprised me a little. And I thought, okay, I wonder, are there any more songs like that hanging around? So that kind of piqued my interest, to see if there was anything else like it in me. So it was the beginning of the record. And then the other song that I have a real strong connection to, would be, Look Back Smiling. And it was a song that, I thought the record was done. It was finished. In my mind, it was like, okay, we're good to go. And it was right around the time that our kids were going back into school after not being in school for such a long time because of, you know, because of COVID. My son Wilson, when he went back, you know, he had only gotten just like a taste of his first year in school before he was kind of yanked out. So when he went back, we kind of noticed that he just retreated into himself. You know, it was a new place for him to be, and, you know, be sitting on the mat with 30 other kids. And it just, you know, he'd gone from just being my mum and dad and sister and us homeschooling him the best we could, to being kind of thrown into that. And I think, you know, in hindsight, he'd missed out on those early kind of interactions in school, you know, making new friends and finding your quirks and all that kind of stuff. So it was a little hard to watch. And, you know, we had a meeting with his teacher, and she had sort of confirmed that he was really kind of he had gone into his shell a little bit. And that song, Look Back Smiling, kind of It was another one that fell out onto the page, and I wanted to write it for him as a kind of a, you know what, dude, just you do your best in life, and, you know, regrets, no regrets, but, you know, make sure when you're looking back, look back smiling on everything and really go for life. So that was the that was kind of the catalyst for that song, and it you know, it means a lot to me. And you know, happy to say that he's found his rhythm, he found his tempo, yeah, as kids do. And you know, he's back and rocking and smiling and laughing and just loving life. But yeah, we I absolutely detest being in music videos. You know, every time like a camera is even produced, and like even at a party or something, I have a tendency to turn into like a waxwork, you know. So we came up with the idea of having Wilson, my son, be in the video for the song. And he had an absolute blast doing it, and he, you know, he pulled his dad out of a hole. Yeah.
it's such a great video, and I love the fact that, you know, they could be in that. And it kind of goes back to something that you talked earlier about, you know, how your kids taught you how to play, right? And mm-hmm. you see that, you know, just the dynamic of them being in it and them just having fun. Also too, like having no regrets, like you said, to them, and just like going forward and just doing whatever you possibly can goes into that song. And, you know, whatever age your kids are and whatever they were experiencing through this pandemic, we were worrying about like what it's going to be like for them. And you realize kids are resilient if they have support of their, you know, especially their mom or their dad or both mm-hmm. parents, or, you know, whatever situation the kids are in. But like kids needed to know that. And then, you know, I'm glad to hear, you know, your son is like now fully entrenched in school, because they definitely did miss that. And like going from just like the four of you to like a big classroom, it is kind of scary for that. So I'm very happy on all fronts with that. And kind of going with giving it your all and no regrets, I love your story and how you got into music, because that's another great way you can, you know, teach your kids about how a college rejected of your application because you couldn't read music notation, right? Now look where you are now, where it's just like you had a high school teacher that taught you, and you just talked about your passion for, you know, to, you know, that teacher, and like it comes out right now through us talking about music and all that. What did that moment, having that teacher stick up for you and be there for you to, you know, to help you with your passion, what did that mean to you?
You know, I think about it all the time. I really do. It's those moments, I don't know if you want to call them serendipity, or, you know, you looking back, you realize that life could have gone that way, or, you know, it could have gone that way, and it went its way. I definitely kind of, when I didn't get into college, music college, that was like in my head, that's what I wanted to do. That's where I saw my life going. That's where I thought my family would be, my tribe, you know, like-minded fools and all that stuff. And when I didn't get in, I was crushed. I was absolutely crushed. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And of course they didn't let me in because I didn't know how to read notation. I hadn't the foggiest idea how to do it. So when I went back to high school and I told my music teacher there, Miss Rankin, what had happened, she said, "All right, well, we're going to sit down over the summer and I'm going to teach you how to read." And she sat with me every week, and she went through it all with me. And I took a test in September, and I got into music college, and I found my people, I found my tribe. And, you know, that was something that she didn't have to do. You know, she didn't have to do that. And I kind of, when I didn't get in, I'd given up on the whole idea. I thought that door was closed, and she kicked it down. He was like, "This is where you need to go. This is where you're headed." So I'll be forever grateful for that, for sure. Because I don't know, you know, if I didn't get into music college, you know, I mightn't have, you know, got my first gig, my first cover gig. I might not have learned how to play with a group of other musicians, and, you know, I don't know where I would be. Somewhere different, that's for sure.
And again, you know, I love just the different reoccurring themes. I mean, you're talking about how you want to teach your kids empathy, right? Mm. And that teacher showed you empathy and was there for you, right? And you just want to kind of pay it forward with all the different things that you've experienced in your life. So again, like I love the fact that when life, you know, just kind of shows you certain things from your past and your present that'll hopefully lead you to your future, and you're teaching your kids, like, this is where I got because of so and so, and because of, you know, for me, you know, my wife believed in me this and that, and like I believe in her, and so obviously we're here together, and you know, we created you and all that good stuff. But like, I love the fact that you know you have these different storylines that show from the past and now in the present, you can share it with this kid, with your kids for the future, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, even in growing up, my folks had absolutely no reason to be encouraging for me to be a musician and go off and follow this crazy dream, but they totally were. They're massively supportive. When they didn't need to be, they could have turned around and said, no, you got to get something safe here. You got to, you know. And I want to do that with my kids. Amy and I were very, any kind of little passion or little spark that they have for a little hobby or whatever it is, we're like throwing as much fuel onto that fire as possible, because you don't know what it could potentially turn into, you know. Yeah. And I was really, really lucky that when I had a passion for music, I had enough people around me, whether it was my teacher and, you know, my folks and friends, to say, no, this is cool, go for it, that sounds great, hey, you know. So it's massively, massively important for us to really support whatever it is that, you know, that they want to do going forward, whether it be, you know, creative or academic.
No doubt, man. I love that. One more question before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five, and I appreciate you being generous with your time. I mean, you've worked with a lot of cool people in the industry, the music industry and all that. So you can take this either way. It's like a choose your own adventure question right here. Is there like a story that was kind of like surreal for you, like to share with my audience? They're like, can't believe I'm working with this band or this person. Or is there a person you want to work with next? Because I know sometimes people be like, oh, you know, I want to work with so many people, and you just want to put, you know, just put the spotlight on one person. So I'll let you, you know, you can answer anyway. Is there a person that you'd love to work with next on a song or a project? Mm-hmm. Or would you like to share a surreal story? You're like, how did I even get here?
I have so many pinch me moments that even looking back are just so surreal. I'll try to pick one. So my first co-write ever, I'll give you a bit of a backstory. So I was traveling back and forth to Nashville, Tennessee, where I had signed with a publishing company, my first publishing company that I'd signed with, and they brought forward this notion of co-writing. You know, would you like to write with other people? And I'm, you know, okay, well, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll try it. So I think it was, I'd flown home because I had a show here in Belfast, and I was playing a show with John Oates of Hall & Oates.
Nice.
We were doing a show together, and we kind of hit it off, you know, kind of just shooting the breeze backstage as you do. And he was asking about co-writing, and I said, well, you know, funny you should say. They're my publishing company are talking to me about co-writing. He says, well, when's the next time you're in Nashville? Let's sit down and write a song together. So writing with John Oates, popped the cherry, you know, on the co-writing front. He was my first co-write ever. Nice. And I sat down in a room with him in Franklin, Tennessee, and just being in the presence of such a cool, amazing songwriter. And he was so gracious with his time and his skills and his stories. And I sat there just like a pure fan, kind of going, tell me about this. What happened there? You know, how did you get that sound? Who came up with the snare sound? So that was a real pinch me moment. I'll always be grateful for that.
Love it, man. That's fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing that. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie. And it changes, obviously, but what is right now that you guys are movie that you guys recently watched and you guys were definitely digging together as a family?
Okay. It would have been the new Addams Family 2.
Nice. All right, cool.
Yeah, we're all vibing on that.
Nice. Favorite family song that you guys like to sing and dance together, or is there a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Okay. This is a weird one. Bob O'Reilly by The Who is the favorite song right now. It gets turned up to 11 in the car, and we're slowly kind of like trying to introduce them to, like, you know, cool rock music. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but for whatever reason, Bob O'Reilly by The Who just ticks all of their boxes, and nice. As soon as it comes on, they're just hands in the air.
Love it. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Okay, so every year we try to get up north, to a town called Ballycastle. It's right by the sea, and it's somewhere where I would have, vacationed with my family as a young kid, and somewhere where Amy would have vacationed with her family as a young kid. And it's kind of like a little hand-me-down thing that we now do with our kids. And there's really not much. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely, it's such a gorgeous scenery, and it's a quaint little town. It's got some rides and things like that, and a lot of folks vacation there in the summer. And I don't know, there's a nostalgia point to it, and I feel the more we go up there with the kids, they're getting their own nostalgia from it. It's a short drive. It's like an hour away, and
Yeah.
we stay in a little cottage and kind of just bed in for a few days unwind.
That's such a perfect answer because, yeah, your kids will be making those memories and they'll be thinking about like the highlights, when they become parents, right? And they'll want to create, maybe it's the same vacation spot or something similar where it becomes a place where like everybody in the family's looking forward to going to that. So I love that. Always love asking musicians this. First album you purchased was?
So the first, okay, so it was a best of Lynyrd Skynyrd album, and I'll tell you why. It's a weird one. I just started kind of getting into playing guitar. And do you remember the movie, Nick Cage was in, Con Air?
Yeah, kind of. Yep.
Yeah, so it had come on the TV. I don't know, maybe dad might have rented it or something, but it had that Sweet Home Alabama scene in it. And of course, there's no, you can't Shazam it, at that age. But what is that song? Oh, what is that song? I kept rewinding it, and I could remember the lyrics, Sweet Home Alabama. So I walked up to my local music store, which was really not that local. It was about like an hour's walk away. And I went into the music and I started singing like the guitar line to the girl behind the counter and singing what I could remember of the lyrics. And she's like, "Yeah, that's Lynyrd Skynyrd." I'm like, "I have to own this. I need this song in my veins 24/7." So she is like, "Okay, well, you might like some other songs of theirs. Why don't you just go for a best of?" And I was like, "Sounds great." Yeah, that was the first one I bought.
I love it, man. It any musician I have on this show and they talk about like asking this question, immediately they know exactly what album. There's no hesitation, there's nothing. And there might be like some like, "Oh, I bought this album or this al-." Like and like 'cause like you look at it now like, "I can't believe I bought that." But that's such a like legit album to purchase, man. I love that. So good. Lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Oh, wow. Kind, thoughtful, and there.
Awesome. Great three words right there. Gareth, why don't you tell the fine folks where people can find you, your music, and where they should be able to purchase your albums and all that good stuff?
So I'm on the usual haunts. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, Twitter. I believe I've even got a TikTok now, which is something I thought I'd never say. I got my website there. It's garethdunlop.com. And you can pre-order the album there as well, the hard copy. And hopefully very, very soon I'll have the album on vinyl as well. Yeah, it's
Awesome.
available to purchase.
Really appreciate your time. I wish you and your family continued success. It was really cool. I mean, I love the, again, the different things that kind of go back to what you want to teach your kids and the things you've experienced. I think it's kind of like practice what you're preaching, and that is something that your kids will definitely appreciate. But I wish you, like I said, you and your family continued success. Thanks for taking the time, sir.
Thanks, Art. Great to talk to you.
I want to thank this week's sponsor, UCAN, for sponsoring the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Really appreciate their support, and I really appreciate their story. Not only are they creating a healthy alternative from all those energy drinks and coffee that give you an energy spike just for a little bit, and then you're dragging throughout the day, UCAN gives you a healthy alternative. And the fact that this company and these products came from two parents looking to help out their son who had a rare metabolic disorder that prevented him from breaking down the body's natural source of stored energy, which was glycogen. The fact that these parents worked so hard to make sure that their son was taken care of and could live a healthy life was fantastic. And the fact that now that they're sharing those products to the public is great. So I love that UCAN is not only made from science, but heart. For more on UCAN and all of their fantastic products, go to their website at ucan.co. That's UCAN.co.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.